Digital Dave, and you're listening to EAA Radio. And you are Dale Carlson.
Yes, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here at EAA. First time participant myself. I must say I thoroughly enjoyed the experience, and it was eye-opening and inspirational at the same time.
Well, are you in aluminum overload yet?
Absolutely. It's a good place to be. It's a sweet spot, and I hope to get more of it before the day's over.
And being as you're part of GE Aviation and engines, I imagine you woke up with a vision, all these airplanes with GE engines on the front of them.
Yeah, well, we'd love to have that play, that's for sure. And although we're well represented here, we're quite happy with the confidence in our products has been shown by many of the users here, many of them, of course, U.S. government users that are out there flying their wares. And we appreciate bringing them home safe every time.
What's the overall mantra in commercial engine design these days? Efficiency, efficiency, efficiency?
It's all about efficiency and emissions reduction. Of course, noise has to be as low as possible as well, but the operators are all about fuel burn right now. With the price of aviation fuel, that's their number one impact on their balance sheet.
Okay, so that's the stick they're hitting you with right now.
Yes. Every time we go in with a new engine campaign for a re-engining or an all-new aircraft, it has to be 15 to 20% better than the model that preceded it. So if you've flown on a single aisle 737, most of those, in fact, all of those have the GE CFM56 engine on it, and we're replacing that with the LEAP engine, which is the next iteration. And every single time we do one of those changes, you've got to be 15 to 20% better, otherwise you're not in the game.
Eventually, you're going to run out of 15 to 20% margins to increase. I mean, what is the theoretical limit of efficiency?
Well, that's it. We're just about there. We've got about maybe another 20 to 30% we can get out theoretically for the Brayton cycle turbine. And the main part of that that causes the inefficiencies is the combustion system, which is the constant pressure combustion that a Brayton cycle uses. That's why we're looking into things like pulse detonation, which is a different thermodynamic cycle. All of you who have diesels know the Otto cycle and so on. So we're replacing fundamentally the Brayton cycle with potentially a Humphrey cycle. But the trick is not to beat up a turbine with the high-pressure pulses that come out of pulse detonation, to find a way to implement that thermodynamic cycle without beating up your turbine hardware.
I mean... Pulse jets have been around. You're obviously talking something different because you're using a turbine to harvest power.
That's right. We're talking about something fundamentally different here, and I'm not really at liberty to go into a great number of details on our exact implementation of it, but we have some very clever people out there who have come up with a few ways of capturing the principle of the pulse detonation in a more of a continuous flow solution that is far gentler on hardware and frames and structures. That if we can pull it off, would immediately result in an 8 to 9% better overall fuel burn, installed fuel burn, which is quite impressive in and of itself.
That's very impressive. And it is not a continuous combustion. So therefore, there's an ignition system that's running all the time, and fuel metering is totally different.
Everything's different. It's a complete different combustion system, and the challenges are significant. And the number one thing is not only the technical challenges, is to make sure that the implemented prime reliability of the system is what the operators are used to today, if better. That's the real trick in our business. It's not just coming up with technology. We can come up with reams and reams of technology. It's how do we get a path to make sure that we can implement it and have prime reliability that our operators are used to today.
Yeah, right. And that's since you're totally new technology, you're not quite sure what that's going to entail yet.
Yes, and that's the part of our business that a lot of people don't understand. I like to say we design with molecules, not electrons, when I talk to my brethren in the Silicon Valley. The innovation cycle in the Silicon Valley for social media, gaming, and such is 6 months to a year. That has two benefits. One, they get a lot of flip in their product and a lot of interest from young people in a dynamic industry. And two, and more importantly, they get huge venture capital investments. In aviation propulsion, we're a long cycle business. Our technology development cycles for something truly groundbreaking like ceramic matrix composites The first pitch I can find internally on when we started looking at that concept was 1985. Just this year, we demonstrated a full-featured ceramic matrix composite low-pressure turbine blade in an F414 under Navy sponsorship and got TRL-6 maturation. So you think 2011 from 1985. Yeah. Venture capitalists don't have the stomach for that.
Right, they don't have the long-term vision.
Right. So when you think about solutions that may be impacting us in 2030 and 2050, we have to be working on those today. And we have to be able to work ourselves through the economic cycles. If you think about 9/11, you think about SARS, you think about all the things that have occurred, the recent downturn, we have got to have the cash to be able to invest in technologies and keep maturing them even through tough business cycles. So that's what a GE is about, is to plow back our profits into R&D to make sure that we can continue to sell a technologically differentiated product in the marketplace.
Wow, that's a mouthful. Now, the ceramic composite is going to make possible newer types of engine or just drive down production costs and increase reliability of current technology?
The introduction of ceramic matrix composites has a number of compelling benefits to a turbine. First off, a lot of our durability in our high-pressure turbines is derived from the fact we use rare earths. And rare earths are expensive and they're hard to find, and there's one country that holds the majority of them, which is China. So rhenium is a byproduct of copper mining. You get just fractions of an ounce out of every ton of copper ore. It's an environmentally tough material to extract, and we want to get away from things like rare earth solutions for durability. Ceramic matrix composites have as their root essentially sand, and there's an infinite number of turbine blades in the world you could make out of sand. So the trick is, how do you get, and you remember ceramic dinner plates from mm-hmm. your time as a kid when you broke one? They're very fragile. So how do you get the interior, the material toughness that is needed for taking a ceramic and putting it into one of the toughest environments in the world, which is the gas bath of a jet engine? Now, we have figured out a way of doing it. We have some very unique technology where if you walk into our plant that manufactures ceramic matrix composites, it looks like where Star Wars meets the Old Testament. We have weaving looms that take fibers that go some two stories high through an exclusive bath process where we put a coating on them, and we weave them into sheets and laser cut them and lay them up so that we get the right geometries. And then we put them in a special process where we infuse them with silicone in an oven. And it comes out a blade that needs very little touch-up machining and so that we can put it into an engine. So it is truly amazing technology that the team has come up with.
And it's actually a layup.
Yes.
I would have never guessed that. And this is a high-temperature blade.
Yes.
Hot section blade.
Yes. These materials, the exact temperature specifications for the best materials ITAR controlled, so I can't give you the highest, but it's well over 3,000 degrees.
That's incredible. Now, this is kind of an offhand question. One of the biggest problems with jet engine is throttle response time.
Yes.
So you're reducing the inertia of that turbine by going to this composite as well.
Do you get a little side benefit there? Yes, you do. So when you put a ceramic matrix composite turbine blade into a turbine wheel, those blades weigh 1/30 amount of metal blades. So you know from your time as a student studying physics in high school that any time you have weight out of the periphery, you got to have more weight interior to hold on to it. So when we're able to take 2/3 of a blade set weight out of a turbine, what that does is reduces the size of the discs that we have to manufacture to hold on to it. That reduces size of shafts, size of bearings, backbone bending during maneuver loads is reduced. So we get a significant overall systems benefit from this. And just from the inclusion of CMCs into our gas path in the low-pressure turbine, we can reduce engine weight very, very easily by 10 to 15%.
Well, that's a huge benefit right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because range is all about getting weight out. And if you think about our goal, our stated goal of getting to a half non-metallic engine by 2030, that will reduce overall engine weight by a third. So you imagine any engine that's out there flying here at Oshkosh today, taking a third of the engine set weight out would make an enormous difference to fuel burn, maneuverability, and so on.
Right. the other thing, the other hot button issue with the public is the noise.
Absolutely.
And the 787 that took off yesterday, and I realize that's not your engine, but you're saying you've got an engine ready to go on
the
airplane.
Yes, we do.
I was just amazed at how quiet that thing is at full takeoff power.
Right.
That's unheard of.
Right.
You know, I grew up outside Philadelphia International, and I can remember those 707s screaming overhead as a kid. And that's – that. I mean, we didn't even realize it was taking off. It was so quiet.
Right. And that is part of the benefit of the modern aerospace technology is that acoustics modeling and the ability to design to bring down the acoustic signature – and also to direct the acoustic signature so that, if you will, a directivity pattern of the acoustic emission so that it's up and away is part of the trick in these new engines. So significant challenge for those who like challenges. Come on down to GE. We're hiring like crazy in engineering. So go to GECareers.com. Any of you young or mid-career people who want to come and work in propulsion, come on down. We need you.
All right. And you have a booth where?
We have a booth over here in the Innovation Center, and we also have a couple of other booths. We have our GE Honda partnership has a tent, as well as a GE tent in and of itself. So we have three different setups here.
I'd like to see a GE microturbine cogeneration system for my house.
Well.
Yeah, maybe, huh?
Well, we'll see.
All right. Thank you, Dale, for joining me.
Yes, thank you. It was a real pleasure.
All right. This is Digital Dave, and you're listening to EAA Radio.